Due to popular demand, this Saturday on Business Hour, Martin Odogie will be speaking with the Deputy Governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria, Mr. Tunde Lemo. They'll be discussing the Project Cure, the CBN Currency Restructure Program, matters arising. For questions and comments, email businesshour@classic97.net. Business Hour, Nigeria's number one business show on radio.
This is Steve Evans, CEO, Etisalat. Please listen to Business Hour with Martin Odogie, wherever you may be, live online at classic97.net every Saturday at 1 p.m. That's 1200 hours GMT. Be there.
Hey, welcome back to Business Hour with Martin Odogie and my very, very distinguished special guest, Mr. Tunde Lemo, Deputy Governor Operations, Central Bank of Nigeria. Mr. Tunde Lemo, you are welcome to the studios of Classic FM and to Business Hour.
Thank you, Martin.
Okay. Of course, you know that a lot has been said, is still being said on this Project Cure, the currency restructure of CBN. I want to start by asking a fairly broader question. Now in Nigeria, poverty is at, you know, as they say, you know, 60% of 90 million Nigerians, as according to even government statistics, are living on less than $1 a day, which is how World Bank defines poverty. We have, you know, businesses struggling to raise credit. We have people, you know, poverty, unemployment, youth unemployment is very high. And so I'm struggling with why is this critical? Why is currency restructuring critical? Before you answer, you know, Brazil just overtook UK as the sixth largest economy in the world. They've lifted 40 million people out of poverty. They like to say that those 40 million are equivalent to the whole population of Spain. So there are people who are using monetary policy tools and fiscal policy tools to move the country forward. Why are we here? Why are we talking about currency restructuring at this time?
Thank you very much. First and foremost, we need to actually situate issues where they should be.
Okay.
Central Bank of Nigeria, or Central Bank all over the world, does not have the primary responsibility of providing jobs and doing roads and so on and so forth, the kind of things that we say in Nigeria. It is the duty of fiscal authorities, of course, to create jobs and fix all these issues. Nobody goes to ask Bernanke why unemployment rate is high in US. Of course, they ask Obama. And so in Central Bank is set up to carry out distinct functions and activities that are completely different from all the issues you're talking about.
Okay.
Of course, when we do it well, it also impacts the life of the common man, as I will expatiate later.
Okay.
Central Bank's core function, of course, is maintenance of price stability by ensuring inflation is low. It's also to ensure that we have a financial system that is stable. And also, our responsibility is payment system to make sure that we have efficient payment system. So all of what we're doing around currency restructuring is to make sure that we have a payment system that is efficient. And it's been proven all over the world that if you have a payment system that is very, very efficient, it will also help to add to your GDP. And GDP, of course, helps to lift people out of poverty. So if I will even extend that argument, I will say all of what we're doing now is to make sure that our economy, particularly the payment system bit of it, is made more efficient so we can be able to ratchet up our GDP. And also, it will help to achieve what we intend to achieve by 2020, making Nigeria one of the 20 biggest economies in the world.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lemo. Now, let's just focus on the areas that are, you know, most controversial about this Project Cure. One fundamental one is whether this restructure program, currency restructure, will lead to inflation. And I've read so many reports from economists, from analysts, and what they always focus on is that because money supply is not going to increase, only that we are changing our, you know, denomination, that will not result in inflation. Now, for me, that is textbook economics, okay? But what these people also miss is the fact that, you know, economics 101, economics is one of those subjects they call, you know, it belongs to the behavioral science. So you do something and that people might behave differently, and that can result in inflation. There are two ways this could result in inflation. One is, you know, by virtue of when you coin those denominations you want to coin, because we don't have a good coin culture in this country, people are saying that any transaction that can be paid for by coin will be rounded up. So if you have a transaction that normally costs 30 naira, immediately that moves to 50 naira because that's the lowest note denominator, okay? Denomination, excuse me. Then if you have something that costs 70 naira, that will round it up because nobody wants to accept 50 and a coin. So there's a potential for round up. That's behavioral. It's behavioral science. So how will you respond to this, Mr. Lemon?
Well, Martin, it is not textbook economics to say that higher denomination will not cause inflation. The simple definition of inflation, let me not be technical, let me use the common man's language.
Okay.
It's too much money chasing too few goods. Since we are not going to have increase in money supply, it will certainly not cause inflation. And I also have empirical evidence. If you look at economies where they use high denomination, economies like Japan, economies like Indonesia, places like Cameroon.
Okay.
These are countries where they already have higher denomination, much higher than the 5,000 we're talking about. And in all these places, they don't have inflation. In fact, in Japan, where they use 10,000 yen as the highest denomination, inflation is negative. And in Indonesia, they use 100,000 won. That is their highest denomination. Inflation is less than 5%. And in neighboring Cameroon, the highest denomination is 10,000 CFA, yet inflation is 1.4%. So it is not that at all. And when we look at history,
yes,
even in Nigeria, in 2005, we introduced higher denomination, 1,000 naira. And the following year, inflation number went down from 11.1% to 8.6%. In fact, in 2007, 2 years after introduction, it also went further to 6.6%. Mark you, I'm not saying that introduction of higher denomination will reduce inflation.
I mean, there's no, why look at the cost and effect.
There is cost and effect, yeah. There is really no link,
yes,
between introduction of higher denomination and inflation.
But people could behave differently. Let me give you another example. You know, if you have a higher denomination, you want to buy an item that costs little amount, you know, recharge card of 100 naira, newspapers, and you bring a high denomination, they'll tell you, look, we don't have change. We cannot. And that could affect commerce. So is there a concern on the part of CBN that these higher denomination, apart from even the coin, have the potential to also reduce commerce?
Martin, if you are going to be buying newspapers and you are going to be spending in pieces and bits, you don't even need to touch higher denomination. You don't need to touch 5,000 naira.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we are not even taking away notes in 5, 10, and 20 naira. We are introducing coin equivalents, but coins will circulate side by side with the notes of this lower denomination so that there is no higher price expectation even at the base. And the reason for this is simple.
But will that relationship be maintained for that existing side by side, you know,
yes,
or is it for until a certain time?
Until we see evidence that Nigerians are back using coins,
okay,
we will not withdraw those lower denomination notes.
Okay, now there was a statement, I mean, you were quoted in Punch, and I'd like you to, you know, respond to this. You were saying that for the 5,000 naira notes that it's illegal for a bank to insist that a customer should accept 5,000 naira notes when you go to a bank, that, you know, you can refuse to accept it.
I call that
a longer tender, it's a legal tender. You cannot do that.
I confirm that. What a legal tender means is that if you go to the market and you transact business and the price is 5,000 naira,
yes,
if I offer you 5,000 naira, you cannot refuse it because it is a legal tender.
Exactly.
But if you go to your bank and you say, I want to withdraw 100,000 naira, you can say, please, I don't want 5,000 naira notes in that 100,000 that I'm withdrawing. And the bank cannot compare you to carry 5,000 naira notes. In other words, you go to your bank and request for the denomination that you want that suits your business.
And if they don't have it?
If they don't have it, they will provide it. If they don't have it, they will ask you to come and have it. I mean, they will ask you to come again. And let me tell you, it is not likely that they will not have it.
Okay.
Because we're not going to produce it in large quantity. We're going to produce only limited quantity. After all, abroad, I mean, 99% of Americans don't even touch $100 bill. And so my argument is, if you don't need it, you don't have to have it. You don't have to touch it.
So if we don't need it, why are we producing it?
Well, you can say you don't need it as an individual, but we also have large number of people who need it.
Okay.
I mean, if we conducted a research, if we are convinced that people don't need it, we would not have come up with it. As I'm telling you today, there are people who are happier.
Okay.
Not crooks, Even people who do genuine business, who are happier that their commercial transaction, at least the bits they do in cash, will be made easier because of the introduction of 5,000 naira notes.
Okay, Mr. Lemo, we're going to take a short break and take your choice of music. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask you about an issue people have also raised about contradiction in policy between this 5,000 naira note and the cashless policy that CBN was also driving. So we'll take your first choice of music, and that will be, is that the Beethoven?
Beethoven.
Beethoven Symphony. This is classic, but I guess, you know, we have a very special guest, so his choice comes first. All right, we'll take a break. Please don't go away. This is Business Hour with Martin Udoge, and my guest is Mr. Tunde Lemo, Deputy Governor, CBN.
This is Coyote Farm, former Goldman Sachs bond trader, hedge fund manager, now motivational speaker and life coach. Please listen to Business Hour with Martin Udoge on Classic FM 97.3 for a highly informative, insightful and inspiring program.
Okay, yeah, welcome back to Business Hour. My special guest, my distinguished guest is the Deputy Governor, CBN Operations, Mr. Tunde Lemo. You can actually reach us by SMS. You can send SMS to us if you have questions or comments on 33973. SMS 33973. On Twitter at Classic FM 973. And then also leave comments on Facebook, facebook.com/Classic FM 97.3. Mr. Lemo, talking about the contradiction in policy, people have argued that the introduction of the 5,000 naira note is contradictory to the cashless policy. By cashless, the way we understand it is that government is trying to discourage cash transactions. And that's why you set those cash limits that people can deposit or withdraw. Now, when you now introduce 5,000 naira notes, isn't that a contradiction in policy?
Thank you. There is no contradiction there at all. The reason for introducing cashless economy is to drive efficiency in our payment system.
Okay.
Is to get Nigerians to patronize electronic channels in conducting their payment. I mean, so that the bulk of our commercial activities will go on electronic channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make us a lot more efficient. And then, of course, we'll be able to do as they do in Brazil that you mentioned and other advanced economies and even emerging economies that are becoming more and more efficient.
Yes.
However, the word cashless, in the strict sense of the word, is a utopian in the sense that even in the Scandinavian countries and other places that are the frontier of cashless, they still, of course, use significant amount of cash. In other words, what we mean by cashless is actually cash light. In other words, we use less cash.
Okay.
But then, come to think of it, we can't go below certain threshold in the use of our cash. And so, even as we drive efficiency on the cashless side, we should also be efficient in the use of the cash, the bit that cannot go away. The bit that cannot go away, of course, we have to also be efficient. In those other claims that we talked about,
yes,
in addition to the fact that they're efficient at the electronic channel, they are also very efficient in the use of their cash. And the example I will use here is the six-story building where you discover that a lot of people, before they get to the sixth floor, they get tired and they're panting, and a more efficient means would be to introduce a lift.
Okay.
I'm sure by introducing the lift, you won't cancel those staircases. You will still, of course, repair the staircase because occasionally people will still use it. There are people who are afraid of lift. They will do so. And if you're moving from third floor to fourth floor, you may not have to resort to lift. So long as they are both legitimate channels of conducting commercial transactions, we should make them a lot more efficient than before. And that's indeed what we're saying. The two are complementary, they are not contradictory.
Okay. Complementary but not contradictory. You mentioned efficient payment system. I know there's this concept called the BOP, the bottom of the pyramid. I had the MD of Coca-Cola as a guest. I also had a lady, Juliet Anama, who is the director of retail sector, Accenture. And one thing they mentioned was this concept now called the bottom of the pyramid. And what they mean, so if you look at the customer base of Nigeria, the biggest market in terms of total spend is the bottom of the pyramid. And these are people who spend daily. They can only afford 50 naira, 100 naira. In fact, the MD of Coca-Cola said, look, those in Nigeria are what they call the magic price points. So the bulk of the transaction that happens, if you look at the telecom spend, if you look at many of them are people who are just transacting businesses at that level. Now, if you introduce five, I would have thought that, you know, if you want to make the efficient payment system more efficient, it's so hard to automate those payments. But bringing 5,000 naira notes, I think you're saying that, well, they don't need it. Is that...
Well, thank you. We did a research.
Okay.
And we looked at the volume of cash that people carry around. Your argument is very right. You are right on the spot by saying that the bulk of Nigerians actually transact business
daily.
You know, daily in very minute denomination.
Exactly.
Which is why, of course, when we introduce cashless, the inflection point at which you begin to pay charges is pitched so high that, of course, these masses that you're talking about are not affected at all by the charges resulting from cashless. But what did we discover? In terms of the volume of cash, the bulk, 90% of cash you see around that we print, they are carried around by this tiny segment that are on top.
So there's an 80-20 rule applying here.
In fact, here is even more than 90-10.
Okay.
It's even more than 90-10, which is why we now said that this 5,000 naira note will make... We reduce the volume at that upper end.
Okay.
And we will be able to save money for Nigerians. We spend a lot of money printing notes. 47 billion in 2009. Although it came down to 32 billion in 2009. I mean, in 2011. But we believe it can still come down further if we do this. And the bottom of the pyramid you're talking about,
yes,
another good reason why we have to introduce coins of 20 naira, 10 naira, and 5 naira. Because you can actually automate. I took the word from your mouth. It's as if you were with our research team. If we then do that, okay, we will then be able to convince the Coca-Colas of this world and all these people to introduce vending machine.
Okay.
So it becomes automated, as yes, it were, so that those people that you see along bus stops and other places, when they go there, they don't even need an attendant to sell Coke to them. You just slot 2-3 pieces of 20 naira coin and then you get your Coke. And this will also facilitate trade at that level. Okay. So you and I are on the same page.
Okay, Mr. Lomo, I'm going to ask you about the role of mobile banking here, because mobile banking is also another potential technology. But there's a comment on Twitter that they say I must bring you back to the issue about the behavioral economics. You know, I said that, you know, people are focused. Even the economists, you know, are saying that money supply will not increase because we are not increasing money supply. Therefore, this policy will not be inflationary. I say, hey, wait a minute. Economics 101 taught me that economics is a behavioral science. So people might behave differently, okay? And I think the point this person is telling me, Tunde, to re-ask is, won't people are likely to behave differently when this thing is introduced, especially at the coin level. People will not take coin, and because of that, they are likely to round up their transactions. So something that costs 70 naira, maybe a loaf of bread, a pack of cigarettes or whatever, we go up, we'll be rounded up. And, you know, and across all the aggregate, that's inflationary. Don't you see a potential people to behave differently as a result of this?
This argument may be valid if we were removing 5 naira notes, 10 naira notes, and 20 naira notes as we are introducing coins. In other words, you may say that if 5 naira note, 10 naira note, and 20 naira notes disappear, and people still don't want these coins, yes, then of course there can be an increase in price expectation at that base.
Okay.
But recall what I said a few minutes ago. Those notes will still circulate side by side with coins.
Okay.
So if you don't want to touch the coin, you can still take the note and we'll still supply the notes if we know Nigerians are still using the notes.
Mr. Lemma, I can tell you that nobody will touch the coins. I don't need research for that, because people, there's no coin culture in this environment. CBN should know that. Because what you are going to find is perpetually the notes will be circulating side by side with the coins.
I disagree with you. The coin culture you said is not here is because inflation eroded away the value of coins.
Okay.
I grew up in Nigeria. All through my primary and secondary education, I carried coins to school. And of course, because they could fetch my lunch.
Because without coin, you could buy something.
Buy something.
Yes.
But inflation over time eroded the value of the coins.
Okay.
And that is why Nigerians are not using it. But if we now coin fairly higher denomination, 5 naira, 10 naira, 20 naira, if they will buy something, of course, people will use them. But we are even saying that let us introduce limited amount of coins.
Okay.
Very, very limited amount of coins and begin to talk around the vending issues. By the time people know that coin will be useful if there is a vending equipment that collects it as they take buses, if there is a vending equipment that collects it as they buy their Coca-Cola and also whatsoever or yes, minerals, of course they will use it. Nigerians don't hate coins. It is because the value of Nigerian coins was eroded. And if, of course, they know they can find use for coins, they would do it. That notwithstanding, we are not even prejudging. We're saying that we will introduce very limited amounts of coins, but with notes of the same amount circulating, the same value. If it is Nigerians' verdict in the next 3, 6, 8 months, 1 year, okay, that they will not touch coins, of course, we'll continue to produce notes.
Okay. I'll come back to the mobile banking question later, but another issue people have is with the cost of this whole program. I've read about 40 billion naira. In fact, I think ICAN, of which you are a member, actually came out. I think they came out with a report and they quoted 40 billion naira. There are all kinds of information circulating, but the CBN governor himself, when he made a speech at the, I think, a bankers conference, said it's between 2 billion and 3 billion. But in your adverts, you also alluded to it just now, that every year, I think the amount has been coming down from 2009 was 47 billion, 2010 was about 45.5, and then it's down to 37 billion, I think. So that means in a year we spend in excess of 35 billion naira. So how can we now say that this one will just, is this going to be, is it the 2 to 3 billion that the CBN governor quoted, is that additional cost? So we, Nigerians would love to know what this will cost. Obviously there are merits to this thing, but at what cost?
I cannot sit down here and tell you how much it will cost, because of course I'll be speculating, in the sense that we haven't yet sat down with the printers to actually agree with them. Okay. How much, you know, this will go through competitive bidding process.
That's true.
But what is certain is that cost of printing will go down as we migrate to higher denomination.
Because you are printing less.
Because we are printing less volume. We're telling Nigerians that this is not about spending more money. It's about spending less money so that we can free up some money and pass on to government for provision of social services. Every surplus central bank has, mandatorily by law, we are supposed to pass on 80% to the federal government, which of course will be used in their budget for the common good. And that is exactly what we're saying, that it is very paradoxical that Nigerians, who should be commending central bank that they're fashioning ways by which they can reduce printing costs so that we can free up more resources for the common good and for those things you mentioned earlier, so we can make life easier, so government can spend more money to provide social services, are the same people criticizing us that we're bringing down the cost of printing.
Okay. Talking about improving payment system, which is the point you mentioned, and that's the whole argument about trying to make payment more efficient. I wanted to ask you about the mobile banking, because it's related. If you are transacting, doing transactions at very low level, you know, 5 naira, 10 naira, these same controversial levels of denomination we're talking about, doesn't, I know in Kenya, you know, and I don't know the position of CBN in this regard, mobile banking. You know, what Kenya did with the M-Pesa, they allowed GSM companies to offer mobile banking. And the logic of that was that, you know, any airtime you have on your phone is actually a store of value. Okay? Meaning that until you use it to make a phone call, that money, that value belongs to you. So in Kenya, they said, look, as long as you have value in your phone, you can use it to buy, you can, you know, flash it by vending machine, something comes, wherever, mobile vendors, newspapers, you can use your phone to make payments. But from what I hear from stakeholders, is that CBN wants only bank to offer mobile banking. So isn't this another opportunity to improve the payment system by, you know, licensing GSM companies to offer mobile banking?
You see, the experiment in Kenya appears to be successful, but if you look at it from the point of view of financial safety net, you find out that the Central Bank of Kenya would have done it differently if they had to do it all over again.
Oh, really?
The telecommunications companies in Nigeria are not excluded from mobile banking.
Okay.
Don't forget that financial institutions that are leading out don't have the platform. They're going to leverage on their platform. So we are saying that it's a partnership. Telcos, make your platform available for service providers so they can do mobile banking. And then, of course, you can sit down with them and share costs. But if you allow telcos to lead out in the provision of mobile banking, three things will go wrong.
Okay.
First, of course, is that you're going to have large number of depositors, people who will deposit money with the telco that does not report to Central Bank of Nigeria. So how do we ensure safety of depositors' fund? There lies the problem about the financial safety net. The second reason, of course, is what I call conflict of interest. If I'm a telco, and then I also do mobile money, of course, even if any other financial institution wants to use my platform,
yes,
I'm going to make life difficult for them because I want my own offering, my own service offering, to be superior. And so there will be conflict of interest because you are right there driving the technology and you want to also drive the product. When you do that, of course, you create a monster. You know, in Kenya that you talk about, there is a big company there that is like a monster. They account for over 95% of the market share. If we create that big monster in Nigeria, it's going to be very difficult for the pro. In fact, it doesn't even help consumer protection, which is why we license the mobile operators and we say go discuss with the telecommunication companies and arrange with them so they release their platform to you, and then it becomes a partnership that works.
Okay, we're going to take another short musical break and take one of your songs. Please, listeners, if you want to send questions or comments to Mr. Tunde Lemon regarding this Project Cure, the SMS code is 33973, 33973, or you can tweet us at Classic FM 973 at Classic FM 973, or leave comments on our Facebook. We are getting quite a number of them. Facebook.com/Classic FM 97.3. There are quite a number of comments that are coming in, but we can't take all of them. We'll just take another short musical break. You have Johann Strauss, The Blue Danube. This is another classical, right? You love classical music?
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right. So, a quick musical break. This is Business Hour with Martin Udogi.
This is Amobola Johnson, the Honourable Minister of Communication Technology, telling you to listen to Business Hour with Martin Udogi on Classic FM 97.3.
Okidewe, Chief Economic Advisor to the President. I advise you to listen to Business Hour with Martin Udoge on Classic FM 97.3.
Okay, you're welcome back. This is Business Hour with Martin Udoge and my very distinguished guest this afternoon, Mr. Tunde Lemon, Deputy Governor Operations, Central Bank of Nigeria. We're discussing Project CURE, That's the currency restructure program of Central Bank. And he has said quite a bit about, you know. Mr. Lemo, just listening to you, what I take from this so far is really this policy will reduce the volume of cash. Volume. Not necessarily value, okay? So by reducing volume means that you are spending less. We are saving costs. So ideally, in some sense, there's some kind of merit, okay?
Oh, yes.
But when I look at yesterday, I saw, I think, front page of Punch, riot, people carrying effigies of the CBN governor and all. I sense anger, okay? Now, if you are printing notes or denomination that people don't need, you go for the one that is available. Now, my question is, this is not economics. I sense some kind of anger, you know, and because from early this year, first day of the year, fuel price went up, people were angry, and then that came down. When Unilag was renamed, Moshood Abiola, there was protest, you know, and then this, so it's almost like there's people are not happy. There's, you know, this 5,000 naira note is almost like a feel good note. You know, you want to hold it and feel, but people are not feeling good. What's your response to this? What's your reading of this?
Well, I think you are right. At first, I was a bit surprised because I mean, I've stayed long enough in Central Bank to know that this is not the first time we've been introducing higher denomination. We did so in 2005, and yet we didn't have this venomous outcome.
Exactly.
However, my advice is, yes, this is most likely, I mean, what I call transferred aggression. People are unhappy about so many things around them.
Okay.
But my advice to the public is, the entire globe, the entire world is going through economic turmoil.
Greece, and so, Spain, Portugal,
all over the world. Yes. So it is you can see anger all over the face of the earth. And so I want to advise that we remain patient. I know government is trying their best, but let us be patient with government, because the time we are in is such that everybody has to make sacrifice. And I also would counsel, of course, government, of course, whatever it is we're doing. I'm part of government anyway.
Yes.
We need to ratchet up activities to ensure that we make life better for everybody, in terms of provision of social services, in terms of social safety net, financial safety net, how we can make life better. And I think the transformation agenda of government is all woven around this.
Okay.
Let us give government the chance. Let's empathize and be hopeful that something better will come to Nigerians.
Not just hear everything that government does in regard with suspicion and anger, but there's a question which comes back to the point you're making. There's a question on Twitter here. It says, the role of CBN, I'll just read it. The role of CBN is to use its monetary policy to complement the government's fiscal policy. Ask you, how has monetary policy, what role has it played in unemployment reduction? That's a question we're getting from Twitter, because this is live. We are live on Twitter. We are live online. This is being listened to worldwide. We're also in Nigeria. So what is CBN doing to work, complement fiscal policy to reduce poverty, reduce unemployment, and all that?
Several. The first thing we do to reduce poverty for everybody is to make sure that we keep inflation low. It's a monster that eats up the masses faster than the masses think. In other words, where you have a high inflation, those who have resources can restructure their assets in such a way that they ride above inflation. So Central Bank's core mandate is to fight inflation, and that we're doing. We're keeping it low. Look at it. Today, inflation number is down to 11.something%. In January, when the subsidy was partially removed, our projection was that by now it should have risen to over 15%. But we fought it very, very hard. And that is why we're seeing a positive outcome. But not only that, Central Bank, at the onset of the meltdown, has ratcheted up our developmental finance initiative by lending into agriculture, by repositioning the real sector, by looking at what we do at in agriculture, by working through NISA to ensure that we bring back life into agriculture, we do redirect bank financing in real sector, aviation, and all these things. Ordinarily, central banks don't do that. But we've stepped out of the balcony to begin to look at what we can do for the real sector, and we are beginning to see positive outcome. We are beginning to see employment inching up in the real sector, in power.
power,
in SME, through Bank of Industry, and I think we need to be applauded for this.
Okay, I don't know about applause, but, you know, people, I'm sure, because we are getting quite a number of comments, you know, again, on Twitter, the whole place is just a lot of comments, but please keep sending them in. The SMS handle, the SMS code, excuse me, is 33973, and on Twitter is at ClassicFM973. Mr. Lemon, I also want to mention an issue. Earlier this year, there was this whole talk about trying to reduce CBN autonomy. So I'm thinking what CBN has done now with the anger and the protestation, even NBA, prestigious organizations are all out, you know, in full force saying they will challenge CBN. Okay? Now the House is due to resume soon. Doesn't this thing give ammunition to all those who are saying this is the time to reduce the autonomy of CBN? You know, was this bad timing?
Well, let me say this. The country belongs to all of us. Central yes. Bank is ours. And so whatever is the outcome of any action on central bank autonomy, of course, we will all be here and live with the consequence. I don't intend to go into that because it's an issue that has been flogged and flogged again and again and again. But come to think of it, what is it that is illegal in what we have done? When you look at Central Bank Act of 2007,
yes.
we have the mandate to issue and to manage notes and currencies in denominations we deem necessary. And of course, our law says that when we come up with a restructuring, that restructuring must be approved by the president.
Okay.
And that has happened. So we have not stepped out of the law at all. I don't understand what MBA is saying about the legality of it because, of course, we have not acted outside the law. But for us in Central Bank, we are not joining issues with anybody. We believe that all of this anger is a wake-up call for us
okay.
to communicate and communicate.
For everybody,
and communicate.
Even for government, not just CBN alone.
Yes. In okay. other words, yes, all of what we're doing is for public good.
Exactly.
But of course, if the public does not understand what you are doing, it is your responsibility to explain and to communicate. So all the bodies you mentioned, ICAN, MBA, and all of that, we will step up our engagement and our communication so that we can sit down with them and get them to see through all of this and understand and agree with us that it's all for common good. It's all for public good.
Okay, but the National Assembly is also kicking against it. It's at their grounds. Can the National Assembly override this? Can they? What is the position?
I don't think National Assembly is kicking against it. First and foremost, let me explain this to you. Okay. We have been very, 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 very... We've had a very cordial working relationship with the National Assembly. Without National Assembly, we cannot have 2007 Act. And so we see them as important stakeholders.
Okay.
What the House of Reps said was that they need more information. They need to engage with us. And then, of course, just 2 days ago, coming from Uyo, the Senate President actually said, yes, I have not come up to support this or to oppose it because I need more information.
Okay.
And so, I mean, what we're getting is the need for us to engage the more, the need for us to discuss better. And that's really my take on this.
Okay, which is basically what you are doing today.
Excellent.
This afternoon, coming to talk to us in the studio. Now, we'll take another short musical break. Please, if you have questions and comments, the SMS line is 33973, 33973, and then the Twitter is at ClassicFM973, at ClassicFM973, and then Facebook.com/ClassicFM97.3. This is Business Hour with Martin Odoge. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
No.
mind all over again. So much has happened in my life since we parted. What about you? Now I've got myself together, and I know just what I want.
This is Ruben Abati, Business Hour, Classic FM 97.3 with Martin Udoge. Lovely, great program, well produced, well handled. Don't miss it.
Okay, welcome back. This is Business Hour with Martin Udoge and my very, very special guest this afternoon, Mr. Tunde Lemon, Deputy Governor, Central Bank of Nigeria. We're talking about the Project Cure, and I think he says that it's not contradictory, that the coin and the notes will exist side by side, Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
For the time being, so that we can watch how people respond to the culture.
And absolutely.
Then the 5,000 naira note is, it's not, you get it if you want it. If you don't want it, nobody will compel you to use it.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. And then the cost as well is not, we are still, no contract has been awarded.
No contract has been awarded, and we're going to save money for Nigerians.
Okay. And then, so, again, many of the comments I'm getting on Twitter is going back to the issue of, and I think, you know, like I said earlier, people are just reacting. When I read the Punch story yesterday, they were saying that as these people were demonstrating, when they heard the song, you know, the Okada riders and the, you know, everybody just joined and were just, you know, so it's almost like there's you get a sense that people are not happy. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm saying, what is CBN doing? Because if you look at the Brazilian example, there's a man called Amigo Fraga. He was in his 40s when he was appointed CBN governor of Brazil. It was by virtue of monetary policy that he transformed. Brazil is the sixth largest economy in the world today. So, again, just to reinforce, what is CBN doing to ameliorate, reduce, and to affect the ordinary man on the streets?
Again, I will say this. It is not the responsibility of central bank to provide social services and to do pro-growth activities.
Okay.
Our own, which is monetary policy, is actually to complement government's fiscal policy. Most of these things are the fiscal. However, that notwithstanding, because of what we went through, because of the issues with banks, because of the reform that took place, we have stepped out of our core function even to begin to do some of the things you talk about. Like, for instance, looking at agriculture, which accounts for 42% of our GDP, employing 70% of Nigerians, receiving only 1.4% of bank credit. We've been able to ratchet that up. Today, bank credit has more than doubled. That is in addition to the 200 billion that we have provided to banks so that they can lend for commercial agriculture at single digits.
Okay.
That aside, we have also looked at the cottage industry, the SME, small and medium enterprises, companies that had, they were reeling under the yoke of heavy interest rates.
Okay.
And then we gave money to Bank of Industry, over 200 billion, so that they can unlend to commercial banks to free up those SMEs from the yoke of those heavy and short tenured funds, so they can then elongate the lending. And that has also assisted a great deal in helping to bring back those moribund companies. Many of them that were closed down before, they are reopening, and of course they are also getting more people employed. So it has helped to reduce unemployment. Look at aviation.
Yes.
We have also lent money to aviation through Bank of the Industry. Even the unpleasant experience we had before, perhaps it would have been worse, but for central bank's assistance. So I can go on and on. Even energy. We've given money also power. To power. Mm-hmm. We gave money also to Bank of Industry to unlend for the power. And that's, again, why we're seeing the traction that we're beginning to see in the area of power. So central bank has been at the vanguard of helping to rejuvenate the real sector so we can have those jobs back.
Oh, okay. So obviously central bank is doing well, it's doing a lot. Although people have issues with interest rate, you know, the rates they pay for deposit and the lending. That's all kinds of monetary policy questions that I would have loved to ask. But again, our focus here today is on the currency restructure. So as we are beginning to wind down with many people listening to us and so many questions, what advice, people who are kicking against this, who are not happy with this, who may not even have need for it, who are just protesting, you know, what is your final advice to them in terms of, you know, the merit of this currency restructure program?
My final advice to Nigerians is, please listen to us, understand us. We are not going to make life difficult for you. This activity is to make life easy. All the lower denominations you have been used to will remain with you, and you can only use coins of 10 naira, 5 naira, 20 naira if you prefer coins. Otherwise, you still have your notes. Two is that this activity is actually to help central bank to reduce cost of printing, so we can be able to return more money to government, so government can be able to do more things for the masses. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Lemo, we have a segment on the program we call Trivia Segment, where we ask very simple questions. These are not CBN Project Cure related and all that, just fun questions, the way we normally have fun with our guests. So we are going into this trivia segment. Are you ready for that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, which denomination, you know, would you prefer if you have this transaction? If you have $620,000 to collect in cash and you are not wearing any cap, which denomination will you prefer to collect?
$620,000
cash.
Cash. Mm-hmm. I will not even collect $620,000 in cash.
You won't collect it?
No, I would not.
How about $15 million cash?
I would not, because that amount is so large that I would prefer that that transaction be done electronically.
Okay, but where is that $15 million cash now? Because all kinds of stories. One man took it to one man, took it to one man, to CB.
Well, I don't want to get involved in that. I'm sure you know the story, you have the story. I think the best is, of course, we just allow anything I say here at Central Bank may impede investigation and all whatnot.
Okay.
Let us just allow
less sleeping dogs. Like, okay.
Let's allow the sleeping dogs.
Okay. Let me ask you this. I know we have faces already for the 5,000 naira notes. Okay, which is good because it's celebrating women. Okay, but I'm going to ask you, if you had a choice between these two people, whose face would you rather put on the 5,000 naira notes? The face of the richest black man in Africa, Aliko Dangote, or Nigeria's only Nobel Prize winner, Professor Wole Soyinka?
It depends on the theme, but whatever. You see, every note that we come up with, there is a celebration, there is a theme around it. This time, we're celebrating icons, people who have spent their time to fight for freedom. For Nigerians.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is what I'm celebrating, of course I will look at, or maybe I'm celebrating literature.
Okay.
Of course. So every currency, there's a celebration around the notes. The two of them are eminently qualified to be on 5,000 naira notes.
Okay.
Or on either any notes. It depends on what you celebrate. If you're celebrating industry, you're celebrating entrepreneurship, of course it's Aliko. But if you are celebrating arts, and you're celebrating literature, and you're celebrating liberty, all of what Wole Soyinka stands for, of course, he then has to be. So it really depends on the theme of the notes that you're talking about.
Okay, so if it's between IBB or OBJ, what would I be celebrating?
I'm a public officer. Permit me to pass.
You pass on that?
I pass that question.
Okay. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we also pass on this program as we've come to an end. Thank you very much for joining us. I've been speaking to the Deputy Governor, Central Bank Operations, Mr. Tunde Lemo. Thank you very much, sir, for coming to the studio to share this insight with us.
Thank you very much. And please continue what you're doing. You
thank
are fantastic.
You thank you.
Educating the public. We're highly impressed with you. And we'd like to continue to partner with you.
Thank you very
well
much.
Done.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lemo. So that's Business Hour for this edition. This is Martin Doge signing off.
Stay tuned, same time next week for Business Hour with Martin Odogie.
Classic FM morning. Noon. More music to suit your mood. That's the Classic FM difference.
Ethiopian Airlines, the new spirit of Africa, and your newest star in Star Alliance. Ethiopian Airlines, which is the first airline in the world outside Japan to operate the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, is pleased to announce that it has deployed our first Boeing 787 Dreamliner to its numerous fleets as part of our customer service satisfaction. Make your bookings now and enjoy this home in the air Boeing 787 aircraft. Ethiopian Airlines continues to assure our numerous passengers of their safety and will continue to deploy state-of-the-art aircrafts to serve our passengers. Ethiopian Airlines, the new spirit of Africa and the newest star in Star Alliance.
What you gonna do? 'Cause there's nothing like a Saturday night.
Saturday nights will never be the same on radio as he brings you not one, not two, but three hot smoking moments.
Hi, this is Benji. Join me this Saturday for the best of jazz, homebrew, and Saturday Night Fever.
Classic 97.3, playing the classic hits of yesterday, today.
Classic 97.3.
Hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and today.
Girl, you're such a bad thing, standing there all alone, looking so good to me, baby, can't do no wrong, hey, baby. Put your arms around me, set my world on. Ain't never gonna be nobody like you, baby. Honey, that's no lie.